This content is AI-generated for informational purposes only and should not be directly used for clinical decision-making.
Hello, and welcome back to the Neurosurgery Hub podcast. I'm Dr. Aris, Senior Attending Neurosurgeon.
And I'm Dr. Alara, Research Fellow. Today, we're looking at a fascinating new study from the journal Orthopedic Surgery, published in 2026, titled Single-Segment Spinal Decompression and Fusion with Selective Nerve Root Block in Adult Degenerative Scoliosis, a Retrospective Comparative Study.
This is a topic that hits home for anyone who spends time in a spine clinic. Adult degenerative scoliosis, or ADS, is a real therapeutic dilemma. We see these patients, usually in their 50s or 60s, coming in with a mix of back pain, radiculopathy, and neurogenic claudication. The pathology is often a perfect storm of asymmetric disc degeneration, facet arthropathy, and ligamentous laxity.
Exactly. And as the paper points out, the traditional goal has been complete decompression and restoring spinal equilibrium, both coronal and sagittal, through long segment fusion. But as we know, our ADS patients are often older with a range of medical comorbidities. Long segment surgery can mean massive blood loss, iatrogenic muscle injury, and a very long road to recovery.
Right. It's the big surgery for a big problem philosophy. But this study asks a provocative question. Can we achieve the same efficacy with a much smaller footprint, specifically a single-segment posterior lumbar interbody fusion, PLIF, if we use selective nerve root block, or SNRB, to pinpoint the culprit?
That's the crux of it. The researchers at China Japan French Hospital conducted a retrospective cohort study from July 2019 to December 2021. They compared two groups, 32 patients who had single-segment PLIF plus SNRB, and 55 patients who underwent long-segment fusion, defined as three or more segments.
Before we dive into the results, Alara, let's talk about the how. For the students listening, how did they use the SNRB?
The study emphasizes that SNRB is a minimally invasive procedure used to target suspected pathological nerve roots under multimodal imaging, fluoroscopy, CT, or ultrasound. In this study, they used it to clarify the responsible segments. If a patient had a positive response to the block, that single segment was targeted for surgery, allowing them to avoid extended decompression and fusion, even in the presence of a larger scoliosis curve.
It's a functional approach rather than just a radiographic one. But we have to be careful with patient selection. The paper is very specific about who was included. These patients had a Cobb angle greater than 10 degrees and symptoms like intermittent claudication or refractory nerve root pain.
And the exclusion criteria were just as important. They excluded patients with severe sagittal imbalance, specifically those with a sagittal vertical axis, SVA, over 50 millimeters, or a PILL mismatch greater than 10 degrees. Also, patients with severe osteoporosis, meaning a T-score less than minus 3.5, were out.
That's a critical point for the residents listening. This single-segment approach isn't for the patient with a massive sagittal plane deformity who can't look forward because their spine is so unbalanced. This is for the patient whose primary complaint is radicular pain or claudication, where the deformity exists but isn't the primary driver of their disability.
Looking at the demographics, both groups were well-matched. No significant differences in age, BMI, or preoperative spinal-pelvic parameters. But when we look at the perioperative data, the SSPLIF plus SNRB group had some clear advantages.
The hospital stay was a big one, right?
Significantly shorter. The SSPLIF plus SNRB group had a much shorter length of stay compared to the long segment group, with a p-value of less than 0.01. And perhaps more importantly for long-term management, the revision surgery rate was significantly lower in the single segment group.
That's interesting. You'd think that by not fixing the whole curve, you'd end up with more revisions due to progression. But the data here suggests the opposite. Why do you think that is, based on the paper?
The authors suggest that by limiting the fusion, you're preserving more motion segments and causing less iatrogenic trauma. Long segment fusion, while providing superior biomechanical correction, involves significantly more blood loss and muscle stripping, which can impede rapid rehabilitation. In the SS group, they were focusing only on this symptomatic segment identified by the SNRB.
Let's talk clinical outcomes, the metrics that actually matter to the patient. They use the Oswestry Disability Index, ODI, the Visual Analog Scale, VAS, for leg and back pain, and the SF-12 for quality of life. What did they find at the follow-up?
This was one of the most interesting findings. At the six-month mark, the single-segment group actually showed better improvements in ODI and SF-12 scores compared to the long-segment group.
Better at 6 months? That speaks to the accelerated post-operative mobilization the authors mentioned. A smaller surgery means a faster bounce back.
Exactly. However, by the final follow-up, which was a minimum of 2 years, there were no significant differences in clinical outcomes between the two groups. Both approaches achieved satisfactory improvements in VAS leg scores and functional status.
So the less is more approach caught up, or rather the more is more approach eventually reached the same destination, but with a more difficult journey for the patient. Now, we have to address the elephant in the room for any deformity surgeon, the radiographic correction.
Right. The study acknowledges that long segment fusion provides superior biomechanical realignment. In the single segment group, you aren't going to see a massive change in the Cobb angle or a major correction of the scoliosis itself. The paper notes that limited deformity amelioration is an inherent limitation of short segment surgery.
But the question the paper poses is, does it matter if the patient feels better? If the radicular pain is gone and the claudication is resolved, is a 15-degree residual curve a failure?
According to their results, for appropriately selected patients, it's not a failure. They define these patients as those with predominant radicular symptoms and an absence of severe sagittal or coronal imbalance. The SNRB is the key that unlocks the strategy. It allows the surgeon to pinpoint the segment that is actually causing the claudication, or pain, rather than assuming every level of the scoliosis needs to be fused.
Let's talk about complications. Did the single segment group have fewer surgical complications?
Interestingly, the paper says no significant differences were noted in overall postoperative complications between the two groups. However, the revision rate was the big differentiator. The long segment group had a higher rate of secondary surgeries,
which is a huge burden on an elderly population. So if we're summarizing the surgical indications for the single segment plus SNRB approach based on this study, what are we looking for?
First, the symptoms must be predominantly radicular or related to stenosis at a specific level. Second, the SNRB must provide a positive response, confirming that segment as the responsible one. Third, the patient should not have a severe sagittal imbalance. Specifically, keep an eye on that SBA under 50 millimeters and PILL under 10 degrees.
It's really about moving away from treating the X-ray and moving toward treating the patient's pain source. The authors conclude that single-segment PLIF with SNRB can achieve the same efficacy as long-segment PLIF while mitigating hospital stay and revision rates.
It's a powerful argument for a more tailored, diagnostic-led approach to spine surgery. It really challenges the idea that every patient with scoliosis on an MRI needs a scoliosis reconstruction.
Absolutely. For our residents, the takeaway here is the value of the diagnostic workup. Don't just look at the Cobb angle. Look at the nerve root. Use the SNRB as a tool to potentially save your patient from a much more invasive procedure.
Well said, Dr. Aris. This study definitely provides a strong framework for that clinical decision-making process.
That's all the time we have for today. Thank you, Dr. Alara, for breaking down the data.
Thank you, Dr. Aris.
And thank you to our listeners. Join us next time on the Neurosurgery Hub podcast for more deep dives into the latest literature. Until then, keep learning and keep operating with precision.